D-Mace, Finn, Gnedonic, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Dunnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vinken here with you, joined on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, by ESPN, NFL Nation, Titans reporter, Teron Davenport. Teron, before we get to the football questions, Willie does have a sports question for you.
I have a sports question for you, TD, that I think is at the heart of a lot of sports fans, is how much is it worth having a chance to see something really special historically? So we know Alexander Ovechkin broke Wayne Gretzky's all-time goal-scoring record yesterday in New York. And so my question for the panel, and I heard this, I'm stealing this from Elliot's podcast that I heard this morning. He and Kyle Bukowski kicked this around. So you're an Islander fan, and you watch Ovechkin tie the record at home on Friday in Chicago, and then the game ends, and he's tied the record. So you know the next game is in your backyard. You're an Islander season ticket holder. You have the tickets, part of your package. Ovechkin's coming to town. You have a chance to see his history, but as we pointed out, there's no guarantee he scores the goal in the game. But you see on the secondary market, the value of your ticket is going up, up, up. They were saying the minimum that the tickets in the nosebleed section was going for were $1,100 a ticket. So you know if you have a better ticket, you're going to get that much more. And remember, you're an Islander fan. You're not necessarily a Capital fan. Do you keep the ticket with the chance you'll see history, or do you sell the ticket? So, Teron, we'll start with you.
I'm watching history on TV, and I'm selling that ticket.
It doesn't mean that much to you, the chance to see a moment like that.
No, especially if it's not for my team. No, not at all.
Okay.
I'm with TD. Even if I was even if I am, you know, Islander fan and I'm there in the building, I'm not. It's like
if you were a Capital fan, would you feel differently?
No, I still wouldn't.
You'd still cash in.
I would cash in because I figure, and I mentioned this to you, Willie, quickly. It's not like baseball in a sense where the ball may come to you so I can get, even though you're still going to give it back, but I'm going to get something in return too. Like, I'm going to give you this ball, you're going to give me something back. Maybe that's worth close to, you know.
Right, you don't really have that dynamic.
The puck is going in the net. It's not coming up at the top. So I'm like, I sell my ticket. How much you want to give me? Okay, here, take it. I'll watch it at home. Or I'll watch it at a sports bar.
I'm conflicted, but I think I would set a threshold for how much I could get for the ticket. I think if I could get four figures for the ticket, I would sit that one out.
Over 1,000?
Yes.
So I think you would have easily gotten that on Sunday.
Yes. What about you?
This is you. You grew up in D.C.
So I did.
Elliot gave a great answer. Let me get David's answer.
Band's a band, man. I'm taking the band.
He's taking the money, man.
He's taking the money.
Elliot gave a great answer that gave me pause. I think if it's not my team, then I might be kind of waffling.
Even if it's my team, I'm deuces.
Especially because I don't know that he's going to score the goal. If I knew I would be there for history, that might change it. But I think I would lean towards cashing in. But Elliot said, how much is it worth to have the memory for the rest of your life? If you're Elliot is maybe more of a deep, deep hockey fan than any of us, right? Yeah. Even though I've grown to appreciate the sport a lot. But the history maybe not as dear to me as it might be for Elliot. But he said, if you were there with your family member or somebody you've watched games with your whole life and you saw that moment, how much would that memory be worth to you to hold on to that ticket? And so he says he would not have cashed in. We could get him to expand on this when we talk to him. But I think I would be with you guys. I think I would cash in.
All right. We all want that paper.
If I knew he was going to do it, I think I would hold out. But I would be like, well, I'll cash in and maybe he won't do it. Because that would be bad, sitting in the building saying, he's going to do it. He's going to do it. And then he doesn't score. And you're like, I could have had $1,100 for these tickets. You stupid. You idiot. What were you thinking?
Teron, the news of the weekend about the Tennessee Titans was their decision to cancel their private workout with Shedeur Sanders, which was scheduled for, I believe, Wednesday, if I am not mistaken. Can we just put everything to rest and prepare for Cam Ward to be the number one pick 2.5 weeks from now?
Yeah, I think that's kind of been the case for a bit now anyway, but just continuing to work through the process. But, yeah, when Brian Callahan comes out and says, you know, they don't want to leave any stone unturned and they want to go through the due process effectively, and then they cancel the meeting, that kind of tells you, what's going to happen. And, yeah, I mean, Cam Ward is that's they stick and pick. That's going to be the guy. I think it's time to start looking at what number he's going to wear, 1 or 7.
So, Teron, middle of last week, I should say, you and others reported that that Chad Brinker was not expected to be at the Colorado Pro Day. I believe he also told Jim Wyatt the very same thing. But then Chad Brinker did end up going to the Pro Day in Boulder. Was any explanation ever given as to why Brinker made the decision to go after initially saying that he wasn't going to go?
No explanation was given. And, I mean, they also sent, a heavy meeting. I don't know what it is behind that, honestly. So I can't give you an answer. But, yeah, it definitely changed.
So another question I have, did they ever have a workout scheduled with Travis Hunter? Because they mentioned they were canceling the workout with Shador Sanders. Was there ever a workout scheduled for Travis Hunter?
Yeah, Travis Hunter was going to work out at that same private workout from what I understand. So just neither one is was going to be a visit. There was going to be a visit, though, that doesn't seem to have happened. I will see if they do the top 30 with him.
Well, that has to be, in a sense, either discouraging for those two individual players or more down the line of what you said, TD. They know who they're going to draft. And just going to Colorado's Pro Day was, I think, more so out of respect than anything to sort of say, okay, we went. We saw some things we liked. We just wanted to make sure. We saw some things that we like, but Cam's still our guy. And that goes for Travis Hunter as well. Do you see it as that?
Yeah, I mean, that's for the most part how I see it. I guess that, to them, the due process or the due diligence was, going to the Pro Day. And I think there's other guys there, too. You look at, Jonte Wester. You look at Jimmy Horn. There's a few guys there that are – also prospects. So it's like, you go and you watch, obviously, Hunter and Shador, but, you're also looking at some other guys.
Now, when you hear Titans fans or people in general, but let's just stick with Titans fans, when they say, when they're saying, well, Cam Ward is not worthy of the number one pick, and it's like, well, why?
Yeah.
He's not an elite quarterback. But I would tend to say, well, is he a franchise quarterback? Because typically – you want a franchise quarterback, and not all franchise quarterbacks are elite quarterbacks, but all elite quarterbacks are franchise quarterbacks. So when you look at Cam, if you believe he's a franchise quarterback, then he should be worthy of the number one pick.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I mean, this whole thing about not having a quarterback worthy of the number one pick, I think is foolishness, and it's not something that, I would buy into. You look at the tape, he has plenty of good tape on there. I'll put it up against, Drake Mays for sure. I'll put it up against J.J. McCarthy's tape. I'll put it up against Bo Nix. So, I mean, I don't think that there's any doubt or there should be any doubt that he's a franchise guy, because he is just that and will be that in the league.
Now, do you think that, talking about Shador Sanders now, and Travis Hunter for that matter, do you think both of those guys, I know more so I could say yes for Travis Hunter, but do you think both of those guys are top 10 picks? Now, Travis more so in the top 3, but Shador in that 10 as a whole.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting seeing what happens. I'm really curious what the Giants do. Obviously, the Browns, they hold a whole key to the rest of the draft, right? They take Carter, Hunter, or Shador. From what I understand, they're going to take Carter. And then evidently the Giants are going to take Hunter. You know, that's my granddaughter in the background. Evidently, the Giants are going to take Hunter, you know, and that's how it looks. So once that happens, then it's like, okay, where does Shador get selected? Is it the Jets? Is it the Raiders? Or could it be the right before the top 10 is done and at 9 to the Saints? So it's going to be pretty cool seeing how it falls out. Honestly, you know, for Shador's sake, I know he'll lose a couple of dollars, but I wouldn't mind him not getting selected until a little bit later in the first round and going to a team that's more complete and where he can hit the ground running a little bit sooner, because, you know, as soon as he has his first incompletion, everybody's going to be calling him a bust.
That's the way it goes, right? Terod Davenport is with us. So, Teron, one thing that Adam has pointed out and we've been kicking around this morning, and I just want to get your thoughts on it, because I know you from the start have been a lot higher on both quarterbacks than a lot of people, because Adam's pointing out that a lot of the, if you just look at the big board and set aside the value of the quarterback position, Cam Ward is somewhere in that 12 range, maybe 10, maybe a little higher in some, maybe a little lower in others. And you, that has not had you flinching at all. You think it's Ward and should be Ward. So do the Titans look at, let's just say, Travis Hunter, because it's fresh in their mind. They watched him on Friday. Do they think that he is the best talent in the draft, or Carter? Like, where would they think, if they did their own big board, is Ward falling in line with what a lot of the consensus is when we see mock drafts, or are they that high on Ward?
It's just, you got the QB tax that you got to put on a prospect, and that's what you're seeing happening with Ward. It happened with, you know, J.J. McCarthy, Drake May, all these guys, you know, and that's how it is. So I actually believe that Shador is the better fit for the Titans, honestly, and I've remained steady with that thought process. But I understand what they're doing as far as, like, with Cam Ward, because I do think Cam Ward is a guy that can elevate everybody better, whereas Shador, I look at him and I think he's a guy that will perfectly execute your scheme. You see what I mean? So there's two differences. It's kind of like what D-Mace was getting at when he was talking about EV versus franchise. You know, I think Shador could be a franchise quarterback within the scheme, but it feels like Cam Ward has the talent and the upside to be an elite quarterback, right? You know, so that's the difference for my opinion. But yeah, I mean, look, it does look like Cam is going to be the one, and again, you got the QB tax, and that elevates him as a prospect.
So what do the Titans think of Hunter? Do they think he is, wow, this guy is an amazing talent, but we just need a quarterback that bad? What do you think specifically their evaluation is of Hunter?
Oh, no, I know they like Hunter a lot. They're really fascinated with his ability to you know, play both receiver and corner. If they were to pick him, he would be a corner. They see him as a corner first, and the whole thought process is to have him focus on one thing and then open him up to the other. So he'll play corner, then, you know, like, have a package, and then eventually work his way into the receiver side of things. So that's more or less, they like him a lot. There's been conversations with him and everything. There's interest for sure.
That's what but I still wonder if they think either Hunter or Carter is so special that would get them above, as you call it, the quarterback tax, the need for the quarterback, yeah. And you yeah. Like the quarterback there. Because when yeah. You have the first pick, that's the essence of the decision, I think.
Yeah, I don't wonder that at all. I know that they are not. You know what I mean? If they stick and pick, Cam is the pick. I think you could more or less just say Cam Ward is going to be the pick. So,
hey, quickly before I pass it over to Adam, I look at this draft because, you know, people are pointing at Cam and they're saying, well, he's not worthy of the number one pick. He's not worthy of the number one pick. I'm looking at this and I'm saying, well, because they're comparing him to last year's draft. I think if you put any one of these top three guys, neither one of them are projected first picks overall in last year's draft or the year before that. So I don't understand why now it's, well, Cam Ward's not worthy of the number one pick. Well, Travis Hunter wouldn't be. He wouldn't have been last year, nor would Abdul Carter last year or the year before that.
Yeah, and that's the thing. context is always important. But I'll put either one of these guys right there in the mix of the quarterbacks, not named C.J. Stroud, you know, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and even, you know, Bryce Young. I'll put any one of them in the mix with all the other ones. And as a prospect, Drake May, it's 2020 now, vision with Drake May. Like, hindsight is always 2020. But coming out as a prospect, he wasn't a better prospect than Cam Ward, in my opinion. And I don't think he was a better prospect than Shedeur Sanders coming out. Now, obviously, looking back and seeing what he did with New England last year, it's a different story. But if you just talk about the prospect, I think both of these guys are right there in the cluster with all the other picks outside of those four that we named over the last 2 years.
Jerron Davenport, ESPN, NFL Nation, Titans reporter, joining us on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick as he does every Monday. Jerron, great stuff as always. Get back to your grandbaby.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got to get my time in before I go up to New York and see my Mets tomorrow.
There we go.
Go, Mets.
Yeah. Three games in 1 week.
All right. I like
it.
All right, Jerron. Be good. We'll talk to you next week.
I'm jealous.
615-737-1025. We will react to what Jerron Davenport had to say. Coming up next, you can react as well at 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063. The game.